Well, we greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. It's been a rich morning so far, hasn't it? Amen. Wanted to share something with the congregation. I was anointed, I don't know how many weeks ago, and I said I was feeling better and all that, and I was kind of a little hesitant just to say, well, the Lord's healed me. But I was feeling better and better and better. And for the last couple of weeks, I haven't had any skipping of the heart at all. And I mean, I have been rototilling and stuff that, I mean, before just taking the rototiller out of the garage and wheeling it over was enough for me. And so I just praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for his mercy to us and in many different ways. And I especially praise him today for being in a congregation like this. And Brother Mark was up here and had mentioned at the end of the service, as I remember anyway, he said, well, we'd like to pray for you, Joe. And I asked, well, I'd like to be anointed. Does he have oil in the thing? And, well, that could be an embarrassing thing if you don't want to work like that. You want to schedule it or something. And he looked around and said, we used to have some in there. And he sent somebody down and came up with the oil, and I was anointed. And I believe the Lord has healed me, because I certainly, I was hesitant to make any big claims. I felt better, but my heart still skipped. Yeah, that hasn't done it for 2 weeks. And I mean, I've been doing all kinds of stuff. So I'm still 77 years old. I don't think that handles that kind of thing. Well, it was a blessing this morning. It was interesting to me to hear young men, my idea of young men getting up and say, yes, as you get older, it gets harder and harder to change your habits. I'm sitting back there, yeah, you wait a little while. You better get them changed now. Yeah. The Lord's in that kind of business. He wants to change us. As for giving your enemies, we really don't, we don't have any problem with that, actually. Do you? Seriously? I can tell you one instance that will show you don't have any trouble forgiving your enemies. What do you think about yourself? That's really your biggest enemy. Nobody else can do anything to your soul unless you give them permission. If you seek the wrong things, they can't touch that. No man. Read in the Bible where it talks about, what can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And he goes on, he lists all these things. There's only one thing that can do that. And that's you. That's me. Beware. Beware him. Because he's very subtle. So, well, this won't make any difference, Joe. It'll be okay. Well, if the Bible says it's okay, it is okay. If he says no, there's consequences. There's consequences. Doesn't make any difference what you and I think about it. Because that's the way it is. Okay, let's turn your Bibles back to Genesis, if you would. Before you do that, let's just bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, it's a rich blessing to be able to be here today and to hear the young people's testimony and to sing the songs of Zion, to hear the opening and forgiving. And Father, help us in all this. We don't make any great claims. We just ask, Father, that you be very close to us and that Christ would be real to us day by day, and that we'd think reality, Father, and look at things as they really are, not how we'd like them to be or hope they would be, but how they really are, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, that in him we have found life and peace and rest for our soul. Thank you for loving us and opening our hearts where we have learned how to love. We want to go deeper in that, Father, so please help us. Please bless this message and help me, Father, to have thoughts that would be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters and to my own soul. We ask your presence here and pray by your Spirit, Father, you would help us, each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, cancel that. Genesis 6. Just a short thought here. You know, Genesis 6 is where the Lord looked at his creation. He was aware of what's going on because he knows men's hearts. It says, it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. I shouldn't have read all that, but that's okay. I'm not going to try to even explain. I can't explain what all that means. Verse 5 is what I want. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Well, if the wickedness of man is great in the earth, why doesn't God do something about it? I mean, he can speak to men. He can put circumstances in their life. But I think this is the catcher. Was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What can you do with that kind of a description? What can you do? The thoughts of the imaginations of his heart were evil continually. What do you expect to come out of a life whose imaginations and thoughts are running over there and over there and over there? What do you think is going to happen? The person's going to be pursuing those at some point. Are you following me? I think that's why the flood came. What's going to trigger the coming of the Lord? I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody much, much wiser than I. But we know that's coming at some point. And it'll be over with. And as things are, that's the way they'll be forever. So the question for us is, how are things? Where is our heart? Where does our mind go? What kind of imaginations and fantasies do we have? When I say fantasies, don't think of fairies and balloons and all that. I'm talking about things that are not real or plans that aren't godly. Fantasies, little things we build in the air. You know what imagination is. Imagination has value. You don't want to throw imagination out, but you need it channeled. Imagination lets you see things that aren't there. In other words, you come into a situation, maybe a business, maybe other things, and it's not built yet, but you kind of think how it will go. Or how can I get this piece of machinery to do this? And you imagine a shaft coming over, and you can imagine how it would work into gear. That's good imagination. But when you start saying, building little castles in the air like we do, that's not good imagination. That's not going to be profitable. It'll be just the opposite, and it's not neutral either. It is going to accomplish something because your heart's going to embrace the things you think about. Have you ever thought about that? If you let your mind dwell on things or go hither and yon and think, well, I'm behaving myself, you know, I'm being obedient to the authorities over me, but our mind is going here and going there, you're going to find that it's going to affect your heart. And once that happens, you have this kind of situation. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Well, that's the pit. I mean, that's the end of it. But it affects us, what we choose to think about. And I'm getting way ahead of myself like I always do, or behind and get mixed up. But the thoughts of the heart. Proverbs 23:7 talks about, you know, if you're eating with a ruler or somebody that has an evil eye, that means he's not sincere with you. He's like covetous or envious or vengeful, has an evil eye, but he's smiling, you know. And don't, by the way, don't just look at the eye and try to figure out if it's evil. If you understand there's an evil thought, it says, you know, be careful what you eat with him and that and how much you trust him. He says, the crux of the thing is, he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's him. This other stuff you're seeing is veneer, play acting. The heart is after a purpose. And maybe to get that purpose, he has to be nicey-nice and pat you and give you things. And maybe it's a good income. It might be many number of things. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that just for, is it just for that man? No, it's for you and I too. Now, when we go to gauge ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith, who is this Joe Tyndall? You don't have much to look at except what you hear and what you see. But when I judge you, as he is in his heart, that's who he really is. And that's the level we need to deal at. And that's the level Christ will deal at with you. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So as a man thinketh, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We can pretend something else, but really, where your thoughts go, the castles you build, you wouldn't even call them plans, just the thoughts that entertain you. I would never go there. I would never build that. But where your thoughts go tell you a great deal about your heart. And it's kind of a mutual thing between the heart and the thoughts. The heart instigates thoughts, and the thoughts come back and stir the heart. And you find that your hearts will change by how you think. Okay, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. In case you're wondering what I'm talking about, I'm just talking about your thought life. And why not? Because that's where it is. If you want to examine yourself, I would suggest, instead of wasting a lot of time with what color socks you have, go and think about what kind of thoughts you have. Like when you have the liberty to think what you want. Now, when you're at work, you're making barns, or you're making furniture, or whatever you're doing, or working on a computer, you got to kind of keep your mind there. You're not free to think whatever you want. You can't think, you really can't think about the Lord very much. You've got, or you're going to have to redo your work because you'll mess up. So your mind has to be kind of channeled on what you're doing. But the real test is when you're off that and you're driving home from work and thinking, or you're laying in your bed just going, still ready to go to sleep, and you let your mind wander a little bit. That can tell you a lot about how deep it is with you, how real it is. And it can be a real blessing, or it can be an eye-opener. Which, if it opens your eyes, that will be a blessing, won't it? But I think that's a good way to judge. But anyway, let's go to Thyatira, if that's how you pronounce it, which I'm not sure it is, but okay. Let's start in verse 21. And I gave her space to repent, talking about Jezebel. Gave her space, a different Jezebel. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and then they committed adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know. He's going to judge it, judge that church, those people. And he says, so that all the churches, including Faith and Shining Light and the others, that all the churches shall know that I am he, this is the Lord speaking, I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, I don't know how you read that, but I'd like to say what I think. He's not just doing it by the things that he sees you do, although obviously that has something to do with it. You may be doing something out of ignorance. You've never been taught better. That may be the case. But he says, I try the reins and the hearts. And he can do that. And so can we, if we'll allow the Spirit of God to take us on a little journey and take a look. Whereas, I don't have the quote down, it just came to me about, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and with it, he searches the innermost parts of the belly. Do you let him do that? Is your spiritual man, do you invite the Lord sometimes, say, Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Well, why wouldn't we just take a look ourselves and say, hey, I think I'm all right. Lord, I want to walk with you. And I know better than to trust myself. I've been with myself for 77 years. Well, I don't trust myself. I say that, I certainly do, too many times. But there needs to be times when we want to really, Lord, take a look and show me. Take me and let me see what you're seeing. Well, he tries the reins. Now, from some of your backgrounds, when you think of reins, you think of this, leather straps to the horse. Steering, and that's good. I mean, he tries what's steering you. You can think of that. I looked it up in both the Greek and the Hebrew, and the word there means, do you know? You probably looked it up, haven't you? Does anybody know what that word means? Reins? You know what these organs are back here? If you got punched back here, where are you getting punched? Your kidneys. That's what it means, kidney. I said, kidney? What? How could, what is that? I tried a kidney. What is that? Well, if you have an imagination like I do, you just can't get over that. You say, there must be something here. If you stop and think, well, what did the kidneys do? What did the kidneys do? Does anybody know?
Cleanses the blood.
Yeah, it takes the impurities out of the blood and balances the water content of your body, and plus a lot of other things, but it has to do with filtering and the blood. It balances the salt in the blood, the salinity of the blood. But the main thing I'd like to get in your mind is that's the organ, one of the organs, that cleanses. And it cleanses the blood. And the life is in the blood, isn't it? So when he says he's trying the reins, it means he's not just looking at what you're doing and what you're saying. He's looking at how are you determining that this is the right thing to do? Are your kidneys working? You know, why is all this waste in your blood? Why is your blood so polluted? And you're coming up with these thoughts of this and that and the other thing, and your appetites are out there. He says, that's what I try. The same action on three people, the same three people doing the same thing can be doing them for entirely different reasons. You could say, well, that thing's bad. Everybody knows it's bad. Maybe not. Your motive, the motivating factors that you allow to motivate you in your life, God looks at that. And he looks at the works too. But what he wants to know is, what's going on the inside that this is happening? And he tries the reins, and he tries the hearts. He wants to get to the bottom of it. Beloved, we should want to get to the bottom of it too. We ought to know why we're doing what we're doing. We ought to know why we're thinking what we're thinking, and why we say what we say, and why we feel what we feel. And I think God would be happy to show us that. And he'll try the reins. What are you using to purify yourself? Well, that's easy. I just look around, see how Brother Mark dresses, see how the others dress, and I get my dress so it kind of fits in. Listen to them talk a little bit. And how they say, well, praise the Lord. Well, I think I say, let me say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There we are. Now I'm in. And the brothers say, Brother Joe. And I say, Brother Ralph or Brother Sam. And we pat each other and we go along. That's good. But it's superficial. And we can get fooled because we pat each other. We need as individuals not to draw confidence because we're called Brother Joe or Brother Sam. We have a Father, we have a Savior, we have a Holy Spirit. And it would behoove us to take our walk very seriously because God's not going to be judging us the way we're judging ourselves. Or how others judge us. He's going to go to the reins and he'll want to know what's purifying you. How are you making your decisions? And if it is the Spirit of God that brings conviction on your heart and we respond to that, that's good. And I'm not, I get sarcastic. When I'm talking about brotherhood and fitting in, that's good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, that's a good thing. Just don't judge your standing on how well you blend. If you don't blend, maybe you can do some judging. But don't get satisfied with just getting your exterior in shape and your vocabulary in shape. Make sure those kidneys are working good. That God is purifying you. And we're sensitive to it. Otherwise, we're going to flunk the test. The kidneys are not working. You're going by your own imaginations and other people's imaginations, and that's not all bad. I mean, I believe there should not be offense in the brotherhood. No offenses. I mean, I think we should try to be a blessing to each other and an encouragement to each other. And I like being called Brother Joe. I like to call Brother David and Brother Mark and Brother Mark, two Marks there. I enjoy that. Because I see that as a reality. I feel that as a reality. That we have the same Father. We're in the same family. We have a sensitivity to each other. But just because you accept me, there has to be something deeper and more inward than that. Salvation isn't an exterior. It works out, of course. I know all that. It works from the inside out and that. But don't judge yourself just by how well things are going for you. Ask God to, Lord, I want reality. And I think to be an effective church, we're going to have reality. Or we're going to have to keep changing and changing and changing to draw. What we want is reality, and that reality I can't do for you and you can't do for me. We can encourage each other in it like now. But don't be satisfied with just acceptance. Find out what's going on inside us. And one of the best ways is take a look at what you think. Where you go, what you do, what you plan. Sometimes just what you entertain yourself with in your mind. And I think we'll know something about ourselves and there'll be help for us. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17. Pretty much the same type of thought. Talks about the heart being deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's Old Testament. Is it still the same today? I said that I had just had a message one time, and I said, you know, the heart is desperate, is deceitful, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And he said, no, we have a new heart. That's true. So I don't know how to say it, except there's something within man that if you trust it, you can call it the heart, you can call it whatever you want, will deceive you. Your flesh, your desires, your old man, whatever you want to call it, there's something within us that if we don't recognize and try it, will deceive us. You ever been deceived? I have. Sure. Okay. Well, it says here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And here he says again, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. But he isn't just trying your doings. He's trying, where is it coming from? Is this just out of ignorance? Is this just out of a wrong idea? Or is this something else? Are the kidneys in good shape? Is the Holy Spirit functioning in your life? How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? Well, some people solve that very easily. If you can speak in tongues, that's ample enough proof. It's always been amazing to me that there were three things that happened. They spoke in tongues, there was a sound of rushing mighty wind, and fire came on their heads. Now, which of those would be the easiest to counterfeit? I mean, you can't hardly, you know, Joe, are you filled with the Spirit? I'll say, just a minute here, we'll get a rushing mighty wind come through here and it'll show you. Well, it didn't work. Well, let me concentrate a little bit and see if I get a fire to come out of my head here. No? Didn't do it. Well, I can start speaking in Spanish. There you go. See that? But it doesn't prove. It doesn't prove. The way we know we're filled by the Spirit of God is when we start to develop the workings of the Holy Spirit in our life. When we start to feel conviction and guidance and peace when we walk His ways. When our life begins and our thoughts begin to line up with what the Word of God has to say. By the way, I'm not saying that somebody that speaks in tongues doesn't have the Spirit of God. I'm not going to say that. But does it confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Okay, who can know it? Draw some conclusions from the fruit produced. But mainly, how is it produced? Okay, let's turn back. I just want to show you a little chain of events here in 1 Corinthians 13. We were memorizing this at home, and we came upon this one thing. And I looked at that, and I said, oh, that's interesting. First Corinthians 13, with the love chapter, is interesting. The first three verses kind of explains to us the necessities, the necessity of having love, and what's going to happen if we don't, that you can do all kinds of things. You can have all kinds of gifts. You can have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and of all faith so that you could remove mountains. That would be impressive, wouldn't it? And have not charity, I am nothing. I'm nothing. God doesn't need miracles. If he does, he'll work them. He might use you to work them. Great. But he also can make a donkey talk. And he's not filled with the Spirit, but he can make a donkey talk. I guess he can do something with us too. But it doesn't prove much. Well, anyway, it tells the necessity of love. And then from 4 to 8, it describes some of the outworkings of love. That's about as close as you can get, you know. If you ask somebody describe love, and invariably, the best we can do is come up and tell you what it looks like, what it sounds like. Maybe we can talk feelings. But what is it? Well, I really don't know. But this tells you you need it, tells you what it'll look like when you have it. We understand the need of it. Couldn't be any clearer, could it? All the other things, gifts and all these things, without love, it's nothing. Faith, able to move mountains. Without it, nothing. Faith itself works by love. Faith which worketh by love. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. That's how he shows himself. That's how he proves himself. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, and where there be tongues, they shall cease, and where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Then he says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Right now, we don't know all things, and one day we're going to be surprised how much of a baby we really were. Now, because now we only know in part. There's a veil. We just don't know everything. But this is what I want to read. But then that, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Well, we know what that's like. But I'm not going to emphasize the child too much, because I think this is really, it's saying that, but I think it's also talking. The situation we're in right now, we're kind of like a child in the amount we know of what can be known. But I spake as a child. Well, why would somebody speak as a child? Or say, I talk foolishly. Why? Why would we speak as a child? Well, I think it's the next step. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. In other words, you speak the things that you understand, the things that you've, quote, learned. When I say understand, I don't necessarily mean in the absolute context you understand, but you think you understand. You think you've got the answer, and you speak. And you think this is good, so you speak it. But it's things you understand. So you understand like a child. Then he gives, why would you understand like a child? And the next step is, I thought as a child. So what you think, how you think, is going to obviously influence what you understand. Now, if you're thinking, just carnal, fleshly, things, items, courses of action, dreams for the future, castles, and you're thinking these carnal or natural, maybe that's a little more innocent, might help us understand it better, just thinking these natural things, these things that are neither here nor there. And that's occupying us. Guess what kind of understanding you're going to have? Well, understanding is we understand or can understand with the heart. Did you know that? That's kind of strange, isn't it? The heart, I don't think I have that verse down. Let me turn, Matthew 13, 15. Maybe not be it. Ah, yes, okay. Talking about why he speaks in parables. And he says, quoting Isaiah, he says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." So you can understand with the heart. And what I'm trying to bring out is, if you think as a child, you think in an immature, take this spiritually, you think in an immature, unspiritual way, your understanding is going to be affected. Your heart is going to be affected. Its affections are going to be affected. Its desires are going to be affected. And Jesus had said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Also, out of the abundance of the heart, decisions are made. And directions are followed. And paths are walked down. And goals are set. Out of the abundance of the heart. And how you think is going to determine quite a bit where the affections of your heart are. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine, but do some homework on that and take a look. And you'll find that that simple little thing in the midst of what love looks like, which is a work of the Spirit, and you look at all these things that it will do, you'll find that is very close to what the fruit of the Spirit is. What we speak is influenced by what we understand, where our heart is, what our goals are. And it isn't, and that, the understanding, your heart isn't independent of what you speak. Your speech will help form where your heart's going to be. What is a pleasure to you to think about? What is a pleasure for you to pursue? What is in your own best interests spiritually? So you want your speech to be different? Then you're going to have to look a little deeper. You're going to have to say, well, what do I understand to be truth? What do I understand should be the goal of my life? Oh, I want to get to heaven. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how are you making your decisions today, the things we're doing today, do they have any bearing on what we say our goal is? There can be a divorce. There can be a disconnect there. And all I'm saying is your thoughts influence what you understand and where the affections of your heart will be. And then from that comes your speech comes your deeds, comes your pursuits, come your ideas. Are you I don't know if I'm making myself clear. I hope I am. But your thoughts, your free time thoughts, when you can think what you want to think, if you'll look at that, you'll learn a lot about yourself. If you want to change, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be more accountable to you in my thoughts. Because if I'm accountable to you in my thoughts, I'll understand you better, and I'll understand your ways better, and my heart will begin to throb more toward you than it does at this moment. And the things that come out of my heart and out of my understanding are going to be pleasing in your sight and a blessing to others. But if you don't get the first step, Brother David had beautiful series on the foundation stones. If you don't get that one right, beloved, it's not going to go well. It's going to be out of square, to say the least. What do you do with your thoughts? I mean, what are you going to do when you don't have something demanding your thinking? Where are you going to go? I mean, we're going to think about something, give you a little exercise. Now, for the next 5 seconds, don't let anything come into your mind. Don't let your mind go anywhere. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Was anybody able to blank their mind completely? You might be thinking, this is stupid. Well, you're thinking, you know, this guy's nuts doing this stuff. I'm not going to do that. You can't. You're not going to be able to blank your mind. You may get it on something so trivial you would call it nothing, but your mind's clicking over. Even does it when you're asleep many times, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, I hope that doesn't reveal things about your heart. Because I have I've had brothers and sisters give testimony sometime about a dream they had, and Jesus came and they were going up to be with him, and you know, it was just, you know, beautiful things. I envy that. My dreams are just so stupid, you know. It's just, you know, again, in these impossible circumstances that are embarrassing, and you know, and you're just glad you wake up and can't remember all of it. But anyways, the whole purpose of the message is just that your mind isn't a plaything. It's not a toy. It's there for a function, and that function is to analyze things, consider things, even imagine, but imagine how to get something to work. You know, I'm going to be in this situation. Brother Joe was talking about he knew he had an opening. And he thinks, you know, and he tries to use his mind and open his mind. What can I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? Imagination's good, but it has to be channeled. Because if it isn't under your control in a right way, it soon goes off into fantasy and lack of reality and worse. You've got to bring it into subjection. Now, I'm not talking about this soldier kind of, you know, but you can't let your thought just lay back and just let it float down any road it wants to go to. You'll soon find out that it doesn't want to go down where you really want to end up. So it needs some direction. And the best direction you can give it is to know what the results of careless thinking is, let alone purposeful thinking. What you think about, you're going to become, or you're going to want to become. It'll grab your heart. It'll blur things. Affects the understanding. Some good thoughts would be to meditate on things I'm not talking transcendental meditation. I'm talking about thinking. Some other words might be like meditate, ruminate, concentrate, ponder, muse, deliberate, reflect. Do you understand what I'm saying with those words? In other words, you have some time, you're going to lay back under a tree and think a little bit. Try to get an objective that's good. Maybe think about something that you heard in a message, or something that you are thinking about, a topic, something. Well, what does God want from me? I wonder what he really wants from me. Not at the end where you're going to be a famous minister and do all this. But what's he want from me today? What kind of person does he really want me to be? And how do I know that? What's the Word of God have to say about that? And muse. Or better yet, maybe it's partway through today and you're under a tree somewhere. Muse and reflect a little bit about just the past 4 hours. What was it that I really did? What was I thinking about? What did I say back there? How did I feel when I went through that? And muse and reflect, you being the subject of your own reflection. And search. You know something? I don't think you'll be alone very long. I think the Lord will come and help you with that one. I think he'll help you. Because he goes to and fro through the whole earth, looking to show himself strong whose heart is perfect towards him, is yearning for him, is wanting to go deeper. He wants you to go deeper too. And he'll show himself strong. But if you're always occupied, he's always getting a busy signal, or worse yet, you'll have to just do the best you can, which you'll find very shortly is not very good. Meditation, musing. You've all heard that, I'm sure, but I'm going to give it again. The word amusement is kind of interesting. You know, ah means, like ah millennial means no millennial. Ah means none, no. Amusements are ah, muse. No deep soul-searching thinking, light, frivolous fantasy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Isn't that what amusement is? I know. The radio in my car, when I was a young man, was always on. Always on. Get home, go in my bedroom, click, the radio would go on. Now we have other things to do. But the same principle. It's get something going where my mind doesn't go in any discipline. It can flit here and there, and I can pretend I'm one of the singers and sing along with it for a big crowd or whatever. You know where we, you know how your mind works. It really needs to be controlled. It's a valuable asset. Imagination's a valuable asset. Being able to think is a tremendous asset. Don't waste it on junk that's going to get into your heart and get a toehold in your life, and your decisions are going to start reflecting that sloppy thinking. And that's all he's saying here. Children, you can make it all that you busy yourself with those applications. Just get the chain of events there. This child is speaking like a child. Why? Well, because he understands like a child. That's why. Well, why does he understand like a child? Because he thinks like a child. If you think like an unconverted person, you're going to understand like an unconverted person, or at least start going in that direction. It's not like bink, bink, you know, it's not automatic. And once you start evaluating things like an unconverted person, guess what you're going to act like when you get opportunity to, unless somebody's got binoculars on you or has a tape recorder, they're listening to you. You're going to act like an unconverted person. You're going to act like a person that has their treasures and hopes in this life, and they extend just as far as your imagination goes. Contrary wise, If you become a man and you put away childish things and you begin to think on what is really reality in your life, it will affect your understanding. And your understanding will be reflected in the choices you make, the words you speak, and the goals you seek to attain. And they'll be goals of value and not just frivolous, light, nothing. Meditation. I want to take this message to heart for myself. To don't wait till you do something gross and then look, oh, this shouldn't be. Or I don't understand. I don't understand why this and why that. Well, what are you doing with your thoughts? It might explain why you're having a hard time understanding. Main thing is, watch where you let your mind go. You need to be in control of your mind. If you don't, there's someone waiting right behind your shoulder who will gladly take over if you don't, and he'll run you. And your understanding will suffer. And when your understanding suffers, your life's going to suffer. And those that love you will suffer. So, a renewed mind, beloved, that can prove. A renewed mind that can prove and then hold fast to that which is good. If your mind's going here and there, you're not even going to recognize good. You'll think that what you want is good. Let God work in your heart, renew your mind, transform your life, and seek after it and keep seeking. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. It's a journey. Make the journey. Plan it. Think about it. Just like if you were going on vacation next week, you'd be thinking about what you should be taking. What difficulties am I going to encounter? Well, I got a debit card, so that won't, you know, I can handle the difficulties. But in a spiritual life, you don't have any debit card. What are you going to take with you? You plan your vacations. Well, this is way more important than a vacation. It's just a very short life. Very short life. Plan it well. You've been brought up out of a miry pit. Your feet have been placed upon a rock. And God is more than willing to establish your goings. And it's not a vacation. But it's a blessed way to go. And God bless you and bless his word to our hearts. And we would think about these things. Think about it and let him change us from the inside out. Because that's where he goes first to try us. He tries the reins. How is your life being purified? How is mine?